Great morning, great afternoon, great evening, wherever this conversation finds you. I am Travis Gray. This is Gray Transforms, and I have another amazing guest, Brandon Anthony Clark. All heroes don't wear capes. This man is a hero. He doesn't wear capes. This is my brother, Brandon Anthony Clark. I had him as a client in guided meditation in 2020. I have ever since that time, since the pandemic time, I have been his client in life insurance. And this is my financial guy. Everybody needs a financial guy. This is mine. Brandon, how are you?
Man, I'm doing so awesome. I can't stand it.
I'm doing so awesome. I can't stand it. I love that.
Look, man, and what I do for a living, you become very aware and very grateful of every day that you have on this earth, because you never know when the day you wake up will be the last day. And so I don't take nothing for granted. Every day that I'm above the ground, living, breathing, working, having fun with my family is a blessing. And I don't take any of it for granted. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. So what is it that you do for the audience?
Right. So I help successful people with elite financial life insurance planning solutions and services. Right. And so when I use the word successful people, sometimes people take that as it means like people that make a ton of money, make a lot of money, rich, six figures, seven figures. And that's not what a successful person is. I know successful people who don't make any money. I know successful people who live paycheck to paycheck. When I say successful people, I'm talking about people who are working towards a predetermined goal, because that's what they decided to do. That's what they wanted to do, no matter what the circumstances are. That is my person. That is what I define as a successful person, somebody who is working towards a goal, right? Because we all know this, man, if you're working towards a goal, man, you got something to wake up for in the morning. You got something to keep you disciplined. You have something that you're aspiring to be, to do or to have. And so that's what a successful person is. And those are the type of people that I help with elite financial life insurance planning services.
Absolutely. That's awesome. How important is it for a person to have a clear, defined goal? How's important for, you know, we're both men, like how important is it for a man to have a clear, defined goal ahead of them? But man or woman, just as a human being, you want to actualize the fullest expression of yourself. A clear, defined goal ahead of you, giving you something to live for, something to work for, something to wake up every day and work towards, a reason is so important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I couldn't say it even better. And I remember a lot of my life, I didn't have that. Actually, I would say growing up, I always wanted to be a professional football player. Like for whatever reason, that was just like, that's my path. That's what I'm going to be. That's what I'm going to do when I grow up. Right. And so I worked to be that throughout all of my, you know, childhood years, well into college. I actually even got a football scholarship, played ball, was very, very good at it. You know, I had what some people would call a successful career, even though I didn't make it to the NFL, which was the ultimate goal. But after college, I didn't have any goals. And so what I did was drift around for about 10 years. And I know a lot of times people, as soon as they get out of college or high school, whatever it is, they don't have any defined goal. And so what happens is they drift, right? Maybe you start going out to clubs every weekend, right? Maybe you start just hanging around people that don't really have any goals or aspirations. Maybe you just go to work at a factory or a job where people just normally work for 40 years. At 40 hours a week. And, you know, you think maybe that's going to be your life. You know what I mean? So that was me, no different than anybody else. But one thing that happened to me when I was like 29 years old, I had an epiphany. And I may be using this word out of context, but all I know is I just seemed like I woke up and I said, Brandon, you're 29 years old. You're not living where you want to live. You're not driving what you want to drive. You're not doing what you want to do. All those things you said when you was a kid that you wanted to be, do, and have, you're not doing any of it. What's the problem? And right there is when I like woke up, and there was like this thought that I had that said, Brandon, you know, a lot of the problems that you're experiencing in your life right now, they could be solved with money. Right. And so I just felt like, man, the more money I would make, the easier my life would be. You know what I mean? The more, maybe even if I still had the problems, at least I would have the money to be able to take care of those problems. You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. And so from that point on, I just started thinking of ways and looking for ways to increase my income, right? I thought I was going to go back to school because, you know, that's what they say. Go to school, get your job, get a good job, right? And if that one job don't pay you enough, get a second job. Or if that first degree don't pay you enough, get another degree and another degree, right? And so they tell us to basically go into debt to make money, right, through education. And so I was considering going back to school, but I didn't have time or money. And so when you don't have time or money, you got to use the other thing, which is what we call creativity. Use your creativity to get the other two. And so around this time, I had a coworker, and actually, I just talked with him the other day. He was a gentleman who I became friends with at AT&T, which is where I worked before I went into business for myself. And this was a guy who was, when I'm telling you, a salesman, like, this was the guy. Like, he was just so smooth. And I was just like, man, like, how do you do that? Like, I used to just be in awe every day, like, just looking at him communicate with people and, you know, helping people with their phones, their internet, or even just their bills. Because if you had a cell phone bill, it ain't always right if you look at it sometimes. It might be overcharging you for some stuff. So handling those problems with customers who come into the store, like, irate about their charges and stuff. And so to make a long story short, he wanted to be a store manager. Because out in the Bay Area, store managers made about $150,000, $160,000 a year. You know, and as just a rep, you probably make about 50, you know, so he was working towards that, as was I. Now, mind you, at that time, so those types of stores like AT&T, they operate on sales quotas, right? And so you got your top performers and then you got your bottom performers. The guy I was talking about, his name is Frank. He was always like in the top three of performers. I was always in the bottom three. Every now and then I have a good month where I'll be at the top. I got lucky, somebody just bought something. You know what I mean? But the majority of the time I was down in the bottom of the entire performance for the store. So Frank had an opportunity to become a store manager, and he had multiple opportunities, but they kept passing him over. And I just started thinking to myself, like, well, if Frank isn't getting the opportunity based on he's been here longer and he's putting up numbers, then I ain't got no shot in hell. None. You know what I mean? So I need to start thinking of something else to do. And then one day Frank and I were having lunch, and he said he was going to quit his job to go work with his cousin. And I'm like, man, you're going to quit your job and go work with your cousin? Well, what does your cousin do? And he's like, hey, man, you remember, it's my cousin who comes up here in the Tesla. I was like, oh, I didn't know that was your cousin. What does he do? Oh, he sells life insurance. I said, what? You're going to quit your job to go sell life insurance with your cousin? Like, how much money does he make? And he was like, man, I don't know. All I can tell you is 2 years ago, him and I, we went to go take our life insurance test. He passed. I failed. We both failed. He went and took it back, took the test again, passed it, then got a license and started selling life insurance. I just took this job with AT&T. So 2 years into the future, he's got a Tesla and I don't. So whatever he's doing something right. So I'm not going to see what it is. I'm like, okay, well, Brandon, here's your opportunity. This is your opportunity to go make an income big enough to be respectable as a man, number one, especially if you got like children, because ain't nothing worse than being able to not get your children like the things that they need. Like, it just, you know, it can eat at your confidence, your self-confidence. And we know a lot of times, well, not a lot of times, everything that we want to do is linked to our identity, our self-identity, our self-confidence. And so if you're not a confident person, then you wouldn't be able to go and start things like a business. You wouldn't be able to go and get a doctorate, you know what I mean? And write a dissertation like as you're in the process of doing now.
Well, yeah, so I've heard this story before. So we've had the opportunity to be in these conversations before a few times. You can still go check out those Instagram lives.
They are.
You want to give it a comment.
Yeah.
Age it does if you want. The story was that you decided to get into life insurance because you saw that this coworker who was outperforming you at the what was it, cell phones you were selling?
Cell phones, internet, security, whatever AT&T has for sale, they selling it. And that was basically our job, was to sell it.
And so did you pass this life insurance test the first go?
Oh yeah, the first try, man. When I found out that all I had to do was take a test I said, oh, I'm about to pass this test. I'm about to study my ass off. Can I say ass? I know this is going to be on YouTube. Okay.
The ass.
So I'm about to study my ass off, pass this test, because I got to get out of this 9-to-5. Like, I just hated my job because I'm not a salesman. And when you work in a sales job and there's quotas, it's like you're pressured to make sales. And I'm one of those people, I don't even like people selling stuff to me.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm going to buy it, I'm going to buy it. You ain't got to sell it to me. But if I got to bring all this extra stuff and do all this convincing, that's not me. I ain't got time for that. You know what I'm saying? I think most people don't have time for that, which is why salesmen have a very negative, the word salesman has a negative connotation or a negative meaning to it.
Yeah. While you were saying this, I was reminded of like, you were just talking about like the different the low performers or top performers at that company. I'm reminded of times when I was working watch sales at a kiosk in the mall. I was the number one salesman in the country in these watches. Yeah. But like for what? Like what? It wasn't like it made me a whole bunch more money. It didn't provide me any sense of security or stability that I could provide to a family, provide to myself. I was not driving the car that I wanted to be driving, or I wasn't necessarily living in the quality of life that I am aiming to be living at. Yeah. And so it just so important. And then when you bring in those family values to life insurance, that's such an important, it's a selling point, but like you're saying, that kind of salesmanship, for some people it gives them like an icky taste in their mouth, but it is a selling point. It is a supporting point for why one would want to have life insurance, for why you would want to be able to take care of your family when if you know God, lightning strikes, and things we will not live for forever. I mean,
right.
I mean maybe, but you know, these days, like
it's not in this form.
Sorry?
We won't live forever in the physical form.
Yeah, yeah. We'll have to terraform Mars and do all sorts of stuff if we're gonna live forever. But so important to have this life insurance policy. Let's transition a little bit. So one way of using this, I'm in a really interesting position because I'm very aware of how shit the educational system is, and loans and debt and all of those things. And I'm always seeking to learn more about to increase my financial knowledge, to have a better financial intelligence. I just I can only put so much in my brain at one time, and I'm working on a lot of things. So that's why I really loved connecting with you and you know the relationship that we've developed over these years has been phenomenal. So very blessed to have you in my life. Thank you so much. And then to have a life insurance policy through you has been really great for me as well. Part of my goals in doing that is that this is offsetting some future thing with my student debt, right? Yes. So like I am a doctoral student right now. I have completed everything except for the dissertation, and that is in process. That study is happening right now. So
there you go.
So soon I will be done. Soon I will be Dr. Gray, but I'll be Dr. Gray with all kinds of debt. I'll be Dr. Gray with like still, you know, people can be at the kiosk or at the cell phone store or in any area of their lives. They could be just finishing their degree. A lot of the audience here might be students in a right now. I teach in an MBA program. So maybe some of my MBA students will be interested in this investment knowledge. The other colleagues that are counselors, psychologists, they'll be interested as well to offset some of their, to have like an effective safety net for all of that debt that they are incurring. So that was one reason, one way to get this life insurance. What can you tell people about how this works? You have done so amazing on social media over those years that we've known each other. done such an incredible job to make it, you know, you could teach it to a fifth grader. So what is it? What is this life insurance policy? What is this doing?
All right. So, I will condense this as much as I can. You know what I'm saying? Cause you've been rocking with, you've seen the progress on social media since before the follower count was where it's at today. So you kind of seen this natural progression of, you know, figuring things out, building the platform, building a brand, building a business, et cetera, et cetera. So essentially the reason why I've been so successful on social media is because I've been able to break down something so complex to where, like you say, a fifth grader can understand it. And so why don't we just start here? And let's just say that everything in the world operates off of assets and liabilities. Assets pay you money, liabilities take money away from you. One man's debt is another person's asset. So for example, if we take student loans, that's our debt, but that is an asset for the federal government, which is why it's so difficult for us to cancel or forgive student loan debt in this country. It would take an act of Congress. You see what I'm saying? Right. So essentially, your insurance policy is an asset. And what it insures is your life. And if you just think about how simple this is, right? What is your number one asset? A lot of times people say, oh, it's my house. Oh, it's my money in the bank. Okay, well, who pays for the house or my health, right? So who pays for the money in the bank? Who's responsible for keeping yourself healthy by eating the right things and exercising right? Who makes all the money? Who pays all the bills? I'm like, oh, me. Oh, I'm my number one asset. Well, why not insure it, right? Because life insurance is one of those things where you can purchase a contract, basically a guarantee on the value of your life, right? Now, you know, people say, well, life is priceless. Well, it is, but every person has an economic value on their life. Typically, it's going to be a multiple of how much money they make per year times 10, 15, 20, or 25 years. The younger you are, the higher the multiple. Okay. So let's just say, for example, that I make $50,000 a year. I'm 25 years old or 30 years old. All right. That my multiple at that age would be about 25. So 50 times 25 or 50,000 times 25 gives us $1,250,000. Pretty sure. So that's my economic life value, right? That's how much my life is worth because that's the amount of income I would have produced over a 25-year period, okay? And that's what insurance is really for, is to protect you when you die. And because we never know when exactly that time is, it could be tomorrow, but it could also be 40 years from now. If it's tomorrow, then we got to make sure all the people we love and care about are protected, because in most situations, especially for us men, we're the ones supporting the wife, supporting the kids, maybe even running a business. And if something happens to us, then there's a domino effect. You see what I'm saying? All right. So this life insurance contract, we're going to purchase the contract based on the value of our life. Okay. So when you pay money into an insurance policy, that's called a premium. That's all it means. That's just what you're paying into the policy. So let's just say, for example, that I could take my income of $100,000 a year, or whatever the number is, because the number is not really important. Let's just say I can take all $100,000 of my income and pay that towards a premium in a life insurance policy. Okay. Now, when that happens, the insurance company, of course, they have to deduct their fees for the actual cost of the insurance policy. But anything above the fees is what's called your cash value. Very similar to like equity in a home. So if you were to buy a home and you're making mortgage payments towards it, there's a lot of money going towards interest. And then what's not going towards interest is going towards the principal. That principal is your equity or your cash value of your house. Same exact principle inside of a life insurance policy. Okay. So again, we got our premium going into our policy minus our cost. That creates equity in the policy. That equity will grow traditionally between 4 to 8%, depending on the type of insurance contract, depending on a lot of different other factors. But all you got to remember is that's a pretty good average, okay? The insurance company, remember I said earlier that one man's asset is another man's debt and vice versa, okay? So when you pay that premium, that's your asset. The insurance company is now indebted to you. That makes sense? Okay, and they're on the hook for the death benefit. Now, what the insurance company does is they actually allow you to borrow against or leverage your asset. This is no different than any other asset class out there. If you have a house and you need money, you can go to the bank and leverage your asset, meaning you can borrow against the value of your property. If you invest in stocks, you can borrow against the value of your stock portfolio and buy other things, right? Insurance works exactly the same way. However, this is important. When we borrow from an insurance policy, we're not actually borrowing our own money. We're borrowing the insurance company's money. And typically, they only require a repayment of about 4% on average. That's the average borrowing rate. So, for example, if you remember where I said that your cash value is growing at an average rate of, let's just say 6%, and you can borrow at a cost of 4, that means even as I borrow money, I'm in the positive. And especially if it's money that I got to use anyway, i.e. student loan repayment, i.e. my mortgage payment or my car payment or just my groceries or my gas. If it's money that I got to spend anyway, why not use that money to fund a life insurance policy, borrow against it, and then pay for all those things and earn an average of 2% on all the money that I make for the rest of my life? You see what I'm saying? Now, the beautiful thing about this is because a lot of times people, when they say here loan or borrow, it automatically means we got to pay that money back, right? Now, the beautiful thing with the life insurance policy is that you still have to pay this loan back. However, the insurance company owes you what? They still owe you money. So it's like you owe them money and they owe you money at the same time. So what that means is now we have very flexible repayment terms. We can pay this loan back when we feel like it, if we feel like it. If we don't pay it back, then all they're going to do is subtract the death benefit or the loans from the death benefit that they already owe us. Does that make sense? So this is why I tell people this is getting the life insurance policy out of your life, or getting the death benefit out of your life insurance policy while you're alive. That's basically the concept behind it.
It's really important financial knowledge that you won't just be taught in high school or college. Nobody is setting you up to be financially successful very specifically in this way. I just want to maybe help the audience and stuff, and just speak about it in my words as well. You said it so well, but just kind of like my policy, the way that I'm using this all the time is that I am taking my monthly income, I'm putting it into the policy. So I'm using my entire monthly income, I'm putting it into the policy as a payment towards my premium. It's a premium payment that I'm putting into the policy. And then I am borrowing only what I need to borrow. I'm only borrowing what I expect to spend on my rent, on my bills, on other things. So I'm only taking that much out. So some piece of that monthly income is sitting in my life insurance policy, getting the full range of the potential interest percentage. It could be 6 to 8%, something like that, more or less, whatever. It is gaining that, the full nugget, the full basket, whatever, of that premium is getting that full interest percentage, growing at that rate. And then only what I have borrowed is requiring the interest paid back, the interest for the loan. However, even that portion of the monthly premium that I am putting into this policy, even that portion is positive in terms of that interest percentage. So it's still growing, and I'm able to use that money. And there's not other strategies. 401k are not retirement strategies in this way. Yeah. So it's just like a really powerful organization of your resources. Yeah. That works very well. So when should somebody get a life insurance policy? When should somebody start a life insurance policy like this?
Someone should start a life insurance policy like this if they don't already have one, as soon as possible, okay? Typically what I tell people is, especially if you have children, and this is why I'm taking it so far back, because the time value of money, what it would look like for a child as opposed to somebody our age is freaking, the difference is astronomical. And so you can have a policy on an infant as long as they're 15 days old. So that's like the recommended age. Even if it's just $50 a month, it's going to turn into something crazy in the future. All right. Now, the type of strategy that we're using for you and the type of strategy that I teach is not for everyone. It requires discipline. And just based on the way you were explaining this, you're very structured and you're very disciplined, right? So for somebody who's not that disciplined and structured, then this probably wouldn't be the best solution for them, right? Because they can lose money if they're not diligent about how they operate this thing, okay? Now, provided somebody is disciplined, then they want to get something like this set up right away. Because again, I want to use another example just to illustrate the concept of leverage. Let's just say, for example, that you had a job that paid you $7 an hour, but you knew somebody who could do your job for you and you only had to pay them $4 an hour, right? All that means is you can get paid the seven, pay them four, and then you keep what? The $3 difference. The job gets done and you made money and you didn't have to use your time to do it. That's called passive income. So what this policy is designed for us to do is create passive income in the future, because it may not seem like a lot right now, but the effect of 1%, 2%, 3% on all of the money that you make from now until the day you die is significant. It's significant. So as soon as you learn about something like this and you have, if you're financially capable of achieving or doing it, then you should get it right away.
Absolutely. So, yeah. Because I've often asked that question. Like, if I'm 50 years old, should I still get this?
Absolutely.
And if I have a child that is 1 year old, 2 years old, I should be setting this up for them as well, because the principle of compounding interest is, you know, this is how people are able to be wealthy in their retirement or wealthy in their lives, to be able to use this. They have organized the principles of their resources in ways that makes this work. And there's so much more that I know that we can go into, and we have had a chance to go into in our conversations. But I want to say for the audience that is transpersonal psychologists, for the audience that is interested in spiritual things, a lot of the conversations on this podcast are spiritual conversations, right? They're conversations about society and connection and wholeness. And I have often said on the podcast that in those conversations, it can't be so woo-woo that you get lost in it. It needs to be grounded in a pragmatism. And even when you're trying to find those practical ways to ground that insight and that knowing about connection and spiritual things, it's like you need something that works in some similar way, in a mirroring way of those all of those principles, all of those insights, that wisdom that you run with. And that is why I have resonated with this product, with this life insurance policy, the way that this is structured. I have resonated with it because it does speak to those same qualities, that same altruistic values of your whole family structure, your whole life. So it's really valuable. Thank you so much, Brandon. Where can people find you? Where should people go to learn more about this or to start a policy themselves?
Oh, thanks, Travis. I really appreciate that, man. Appreciate those kind words. People can start getting in contact with me, I would say, on Instagram at BrandonAnthonyClark.com. Also not at BrandonAnthonyClark.com. That's the website. But on Instagram at BrandonAnthonyClark, on TikTok at BrandonAnthonyClark. And I have a website, which is BrandonAnthonyClark.com, where we have some free resources. We also have some paid virtual trainings. That's where the good stuff is at, just being honest, right? Yeah. And we have to have that stuff paid because we're talking about some secret advanced solutions, and we're giving away a lot of game in there, right? So we can't have everybody just running around on the street using it because it wouldn't be special anymore. You see what I mean? They got two sections when you go to the club. They got general admission and VIP. You know what I mean? If you could pay general admission and get in VIP, then VIP wouldn't be all that special anymore, would it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So those are the principles that we take in consideration.
I'm at a time in my life where I get the VIP admission every time.
Every time is worth it, man.
I don't want to be hanging around with the peasants. I want to be with my high level folks.
With the successful people. The successful people, you feel me? Right. Yeah, man. So yeah, that's where you can find me, man. I hope you have me back on the show, man. I know there's a lot of things that we didn't
talk. There's so much that we could go into. It was in my mind right now was like, man, I really wish we had a chance to go into the branding of like that branding shift that you made from All Heroes Don't Wear Capes to just doing Brandon Anthony Clark. I remember, telling you like, well, this is Brandon Anthony Clark, but this is All the Heroes Don't Wear Capes. And then this is just the building of the business. I've had an opportunity to be behind the scenes and in your life and supporting this growth that you've done. So man, there's just so much that we could talk about, and I'm sure we'll have a conversation again. We'll have a chance to do that. But it is so important to have this conversation for others. This is really important financial knowledge. It's really important knowledge for their resources, goals. There's all kinds of life golden nuggets in this as well. Brandon, you started selling cell phones, selling internet, and you saw that you weren't living the life that you wanted to live, and you needed to increase your financial literacy in order to do that. And so I hope this encourages other people to reach out and get in those programs.
Absolutely, man. I got a soft spot in my heart for entrepreneurs. I'm very passionate about people that want to escape the traditional, I got to get this 9-to-5 job and my benefits and my 401k. I really love seeing people step outside of that matrix, right? And then create something that they can own, they can control, and hopefully pass down to their family. So any type of information that I can give, whether it's personal information about my journey, because I know we started a little bit today, we didn't go super deep, but I'm more than happy to share that. And I love sharing it because a lot of times we need to hear that in order to have the confidence to go out and, make our dreams come true.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Brandon.
Appreciate you, Dr. Gray. You think, who is this man talking to?